right, Scotty Mitchell coming up in just a moment. Jays reporter, Jays Yankees tonight. The Jays laid a beating on the Yankees last night, and they needed that for their confidence. That's two wins in a row. You know, sports and baseball, it doesn't always make sense. They got roasted down at Yankee Stadium last week, and Buffalo is where they're comfortable. They played well last night.
Big test tonight.
Yeah, that matchup is, would you call that a mismatch on the
mound? I would say, yeah. Gerry Cole on the mound for the Yankees. That's a bit of a problem for anyone he's going to face. And Tanner Roark has been a mess. I mean, I don't know if Roark's in the rotation come playoff time. Like, you know, Ryu is pitching game one. Beyond that, I don't know what the rest of the rotation is going to look like. Shoemaker looked pretty good. You know, he's had health concerns. And
how many innings did Shoemaker pitch? Three?
Yeah. No one goes deep on this team. Like, even Ryu pitched well over the weekend. He goes six, and check, please, I'm out of here.
He's on I-90 walking to the hotel.
Just out of there. It's the best routine in baseball. Lock him in for six, and then he I-90. Has to
he's
leave.
Gone. He's gone.
Here's Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter. Is there any chance he'll ever go seven? Like, is Ryu allergic to the seventh inning, or what's the story with that?
Well, Ryu isn't allergic to it, but the computers in the front office are clearly allergic to these guys going third time through the order, and, you know, that's what it is. I mean, you know, we've talked about this for probably the better part of 5 years now, and John Gibbons hated it. He used to, anytime you'd bring this up in his office before the game, he'd roll his eyes at you and look at you, and you know, you'd kind of laugh because you could see them, you know, the front office not being on the same page with their manager. And, you know, right now this is the way it goes. And this is the new Tampa Bay Rays style of doing things. And, you know, they're going to be a team that really, you know, kind of looks at the numbers and really goes by that book rather than, you know, anything else that we've seen in the past. And it will be interesting because when you look at the way they're going to line this up, I mean, obviously Ryu is going to be in that game one on Tuesday. And look, I don't know what the hook's going to be like there. If he's rolling sixth, seventh inning, I mean, I think you got to continue to go with that guy. You paid him to be your ace, and, you know, this is exactly why you bought him for $20 million a year. So, but, you know, this is an analytically driven front office and coaching staff, and you know, they're going to go by the numbers and the matchups more often than not.
So, you know, we're talking about it just prior to having you on, Scotty. Who would go game two? Who goes game three? I mean, I'm having a tough time figuring that out because it's such a drastic drop-off after Ryu.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we got a little bit of clarity on that today. I wrote a column. I mean, you're going to see Taiwan Walker's lined up for Friday now. And when you look at the rotation, Thursday's Ryu, so that lines him up for Tuesday. We've got Taiwan Walker lined up Friday, so that lines him up for game two on Wednesday. And then Matt Shoemaker is going to go likely Saturday, so that would line him up for game three. And then that doesn't exactly mean that that's how they're going to do it, but that's a pretty good indication and a pretty good tip-off of how they're lining it up. And then you got Robbie Ray, he's going to go tomorrow, and Tanner Roark, he's going to go today. So you look at those guys as potentially bulk guys behind those other starters. Tanner Roark's not going to get a playoff start, let's be real here. He's been just about awful in every outing that he's had this year with a 6.41 ERA. Chase Anderson officially got bumped to the bullpen today, so we're not going to see him in a starting role. So essentially you look at Ryu, you look at Taiwan Walker, you look at Matt Shoemaker, and then you look at Robbie Ray tomorrow. And how Ray pitches tomorrow might kind of give the Blue Jays a little bit of pause as to how they shuffle this up. And then you've got Nate Pearson kind of looming as well, and he's not going to be a traditional starter, but he's going to be in that mix potentially if he can get to 40 pitches for two innings to be kind of an opener type role for one of those games, either game two or game three. So they've got some options, and they're kind of shuffling it up this week to see who pitches the best and see what how they can kind of, you know, creatively piece together games two and games three, because obviously game one is going to be hopefully Ryu getting six or seven and then handing it over to whoever their high-leverage relievers are that night.
Scotty, you just mentioned our man Roark. I'm leaving this chair that I'm sitting in and going to tune in the game. It's just a known fact that this guy is going to get dummied on the mound. Like, is there any chance that this guy could flip the switch and give something more than what he's been giving?
Look, I don't know. The numbers aren't flattering, and, you know, there's no real kind of one thing that's been bad with him. It's been kind of the whole smorgasbord, and, you know, he just hasn't been very good at, you know, front to back this season, hasn't, you know, kind of stacked up the way we expected back in July. But, you know, this is the guy that they gave, you know, $24 million to just to eat innings. And
that's scary, man.
You know, he hasn't really been eating much this year. So it's interesting.
He's been eating something.
Yeah, he's been eating home runs, man, and hits. That's what he's
eating.
Eating
doo-doo is what he's been eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Been eating a hook from Charlie Montoyo.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's been ugly.
It's ugly.
You know, he's been the guy that wants to pitch deeper into games, and then you just can't the way he's pitching. So, I mean, look, at this point, this is kind of how it goes. You know, you ride the hot hand this type of year, no matter if it's a 60-game season or 162, and, you know, you put your guys in the best position as possible. And, you know, you see veterans kind of go by the wayside sometimes in the postseason. And, you know, that's probably what Roark is going to do, because he's not going to start. So, right now, you're just kind of hoping right now he can turn it around heading into next year and, you know, be that fourth or fifth starter for $12 million in the final year of his deal, because, you know, this has, you know, essentially been a lost year for the veteran. I mean, 33 years old, a 6.41 ERA. If he didn't have that second year on his deal, you know, we might have been talking about a release situation a month ago. That's how bad it's been.
With Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, Jays Yankees tonight down in Buffalo. So Alejandro Kirk has put his name on the map. He goes 4-for-4 last night, hits a bomb in the seventh opposite field. He's, you know, he's stout. He's a catcher. He bombs around the pads, and he does it in style. You know, he's our kind of guy. We love him. And I know you've been a big fan of his for quite some time, dating back to spring training 1.0. And he was taxi squad. He was just hanging around the team for a while. Then finally they activate him, and they've played him, and he's given them more offense than Jansen or McGuire combined almost. I mean, Reese McGuire brought nothing, and I don't think we're going to see him again, clearly. But it's such a unique position where Jansen's going to play. When Ryu's on the mound, Jansen's going to be behind the plate. I mean, he's going to catch for him. So where does Kirk fit into the next week and into the playoff performance?
Well, that's the interesting part is, you know, that's changing on a daily basis now. And he's in the lineup tonight, back-to-back nights. And yeah, you're right. Danny Jansen is very likely going to be the catcher for Ryu in game one. And that's kind of the trade-off right now. And that's going to be the debate over this next week within, you know, the front office and within the coaching staff is, you know, Danny Jansen brings an element, you know, a little bit more of a veteran element. He's definitely better behind the plate in terms of defensive skills, as well as kind of managing the pitching staff, calling the game, communicating. You know, that's just inherent in a guy who's been around for a few years now. And against when you're talking about a guy who's 21 years old and has a little bit of a language barrier and really doesn't know this pitching staff. But when you look at what Kirk has done with the bat, it is pretty clear he brings a whole lot more juice to the bottom of the lineup. And, you know, that's what the Blue Jays need. And they're a team that kind of needs to go 1-9. You know, they don't have a heart of the order at this point, you know, that's going to completely terrify anyone like they're the Houston Astros or anything like that. So they really need to be good 1-9. And, you know, he obviously adds an element of offense that has come in handy from time to time. And this kid hits the ball so damn hard, and he's such a compact guy at the plate that he's really, really tough to pitch to. And, you know, internally they've been raving about him for, you know, almost 2 years now. And on my top 50 prospects lists every January, he went from 43 last year all the way up into the top 10 this year. And, you know, I don't think it's a real surprise as to what he's doing. You know, it is in a number of ways, you know, based on what level he was at last year and based on his age. But I talked to people back in February that really thought he would go to AA, crush the ball for 2 months, and we'd be talking about it in May, June, July anyways, even if it was a normal season. So, you know, he's added a real element, and he gives them a little bit of a dilemma because you're losing something defensively, but you're clearly adding something offensively. So it's going to be interesting in that sense. But then there's also the fact that, you know, this kid is turning into their best DH option. And Rowdy Tellez, no one's sure if he's going to make it back from that knee injury in time to kind of play a role. But when you look at what his bat can bring, you know, he might be the best DH on the roster, which also opens up another conversation because it's really tricky to have your backup catcher as a DH, because if you have an injury and you have to move him out of the DH spot, you lose your DH for the rest of the game. So you kind of have to have a third catcher on the roster to be able to do that on a regular basis, especially in a playoff scenario. So that's going to cause a little bit of a debate internally about what you do with that roster. 28 guys. Yeah, you can probably easily put Caleb Joseph on just to kind of cover your bases. So it'll be interesting over the next week. That debate's going to happen, and we'll see what they do. And you're right. Tuesday night, it's probably Danny Jansen behind the plate. But I think the question right now is, do they put that third catcher on the roster and use this guy in pinch hitting situations and as the strict DH, which he looks fully capable of doing at this point?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, no, exactly. And DHing is clearly not ideal, like you just pointed out. But maybe, you know, late in the game, pinch hit, eighth, ninth inning, you need a big one. You know, it's just another option that, quite frankly, they have not had. And with Tellez out, we don't know when he's going to come back. I don't know who else would fit that role, you know, sitting in the dugout, game in, game out. So it's big. You know, it's been a big debut for him, and we'll see where it goes tonight. I mean, Gerrit Cole versus Tanner Roark on paper, that doesn't look so good.
No.
But, you know, crazier things have happened. That was a redemption night for them last night, the Jays, and full credit to them, and we're only a week away from the real stuff. So we'll see where it takes us. Great stuff as always. Thank you, Scotty.
All right, fellas. Enjoy the game. Take care.
Yep. Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter. Find his stuff up on tsn.ca.
And like,
go ahead, Noodles.
So I was just going to say, I like all the different, I guess, choice of wording for Kirk. Like, he said compact.
He's compact.
Very compact.
That's actually perfect.
It is a great comment. Like, yeah. He's a compact, you know, strong and compact. Like, we could say he's just a grit grinder.
Yeah, he's a grit grinder. That's what he is. He's got a low center of gravity. And as Scotty said, he swings, man. Like, he hits the ball.
43-27 jeans.
Yes, that's what it is.
43-27 jeans.
Yeah, it can't be 30. 30 is too tall. 30's 5'9".
43 waist, 27 inseam.
That's basically just a circle.
Yeah, I love it.
The pants are circular.
Yes.
He is a beautician, and he's put himself on the map. And, you know, Danny Jansen, he's going to catch Ryu. He's been doing it all year. That's not going to change. Ryu would make that call. He'd be like, I want Jansen. He's my comfort zone. You got to play him for that. It's going to happen. But where Kirk comes in everywhere else,